This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure whether I'm a snake. I'm the head of outcomes for children with visual needs in Devon, and I'm a joint strategic commissioner with the PCT for health. I also lead on special educational needs and on social care. And I think I was called a strategic commissioner, and we changed the titles to Head of Outcomes. And someone said, is that the wolf in sheep's clothing now rather than the snake? But I hope not. I'm also a parent carer of a child with additional needs, so I know myself the needs of children. Over many years in Devon, I thought I'd bring a picture along. We have struggled in Devon. Devon is a very large rural county, which many of you probably know from visiting, I hope. It takes a good 4 or 5 hours to go from the bottom in Kingsbridge to the top in Ilfracombe. It's 5,000 square miles of roads, I believe, 2,500 square miles of land. We also had a history of being a big county council area until Plymouth became a unitary authority, Torbay became a unitary authority. It's also a two-tier authority, so there are 8 district councils in the Devon area. There used to be 6 primary care trusts and 3 local authority areas. So over the last 10 years of working in Devon, we have challenged all of those things to look at the needs of children with special needs in that way, which is what I wanted to have a look at, to say what our journey has been. The impact of having all of those variations across Devon was clearly consistency, lack of consistent special provision, access. We've just been hearing about access to high-quality provision. And across Devon, working with 5 acute hospital trusts as well, you know, very variable levels of support for children with a whole range of needs. Early intervention was very patchy, depending on how the historic local area, local authority areas or the primary care trust had either invested in children's services or not. And I was actually a joint agency team manager in 2000 in Exeter Primary Care Trust, which heavily invested in children's services, whereas other neighbouring PCTs didn't. So we were all, by becoming joint agency, we were all, almost perpetuating that difference. So all the things that you probably know about, disjointed assessment processes, and high levels of parent carer dissatisfaction. There were very clear engagement from 2000 onwards with parent carers around developing parent carer forums. But again, they were mirroring the separate geographies of Devon. And I think the joint agency development between 2000 and 2006 supported the way forward, but again, it was doing it very, very separately across different areas of Devon. What we tried to do in 2007-8, when the primary care trust became a single primary care trust in Devon, with the local authority, was to look at definitions for children with special needs and additional needs, to say, how are we going to take our strategies, develop our strategies collectively? And my colleague, Gwen Pearson, who's the PCT commissioner, who will unfortunately couldn't be here, really wanted me to get this point across. It was very important that we had a Devon concern pathway, a social care concern pathway of identifying children with moderate disabilities and above as children in need. But what about the wide range? How, through health, education and social care assessments, were we identifying those children? So we tried to describe the presentation of children that would get access to joint agency, multi-agency services. We also developed our joint priority areas, health and the local authority, to include palliative care, so that it wasn't a pure NHS issue. It was a joint strategic way forward. Also, autistic spectrum conditions. PCT commissioner was appointed within the children's services, and we started working together. And Gwen wanted me to point out that this was crucial because it started to introduce a holistic view of children rather than compartmentalising in our education, health and social care prospectus. And I have to say, we were successful this year in actually getting additional funding for palliative care and for very specialist autistic services. So as part of the Aiming High development from the PCT. So there was an outcome. So our joint work looked at developing physical sensory and learning disabilities and difficulties frameworks. That saw bringing together therapy, nursing and social care services into an integrated children's service that worked across the whole of Devon. Three areas of operational delivery, but working in integrated services with a single assistant director and jointly funded area managers. It also included emotional health and wellbeing, specialist CAMS services. It did include public health nursing for children, school nurses and health visitors. And as I said just now, we focused on developing palliative care pathways for autism and listening early on about specialist equipment and short breaks provision. Specialist equipment was always very important to have clear pathways across the whole of Devon. It was one of the things that parent carers said to us very clearly, very early on, is the access to specialist equipment was so different across Devon that that was one of the first areas we looked at. We have a joint equipment store with a pooled budget, and that's been in the process for the last 5 years. And obviously short breaks provision as we developed, looking towards Aiming High. We also thought we knew in 2007 quite a lot about our population. We didn't. So we brought together through the Joint Strategic Needs Assessment, but also a separate Aiming High project, which my colleague Beryl Perrin, many of you know here today, has led through the LAMP work, actually sort of really digging into, you know, what is the population, who are they, where are they? Remembering that map of Devon, there was an assumption that children existed in the urban areas of Exeter, North Devon, Barnstaple, Newton Abbot. In actual fact, when we had mapped our children, they existed in every parish in the county. So our services and the way that we thought about delivering them had to reflect that. And I think some of the headlines here was children with additional needs that we've got identified on a shared database. It's 11,400 children across Devon out of that 164,000 population. Of those, we know who we support funded services, those with statutory assessments, those in special schools, and our independent school sector I highlighted there because we heard about the high costs of independent placements, which, again, a lot of my work at the moment, working with schools across a continuum, is about building up local capacity with health and social care to support more children in the Devon area. The money was very critical. And again, lots of people had lots of myths about how much money they used and how much money they put in. And we started off with a figure of about £35 million, and we've ended up with a figure £95 million, including all this money that goes into Devon schools for SEN. But this was very important to actually say, how do we, as two big organisations, deliver this money, and especially the money through schools? The aligned budget of that is about £18 million, and that is delivered through our integrated children's services, as I've outlined a bit earlier on, but including joint equipment and independent sector placements. And I actually, as a commissioner, I chair panels that actually look at equipment, that look at the governance of pathways for children and so on and so forth, which actually is a very important way of unblocking some of those issues that Andrew highlighted earlier on. And I do get phone calls about cutlery. But I know who can sort those out. The barriers that we've had are the ones that you probably are all acutely aware of. Very big, different cultural issues that still exist across all of the sectors we work in. And it's very simple to say, oh, we'll just bring everybody together and they'll all work together and we'll deliver this fantastic one-stop shop, single door. And somebody said to me last week, well, you've created a single door, but when you open it, you fall down the cellar steps. And I thought, well, yeah, we've still got more to do. A lot of that is through these issues of cultures, contract processes. I spent 2 years trying to bring NHS contracting together with local authority contracting. And we're not quite there yet. So big issues in terms of our listening to about what are the bureaucracies that restrict our flexibilities to move forward. Finance systems that underpin that, very different across all of the sectors again. So when you want to be creative and flexible, quite often you're restricted from doing that by completely different ways of looking at finance, procurement. I fell foul of European procurement law, as many of us probably have. And when you're working with trying to commission and procure very specialist services, when you know there isn't really a dynamic worldwide market for things, to actually spend a year going through a process to actually end up with the provider that you know could provide in the first place was immensely frustrating for all the professionals, but also for all the parents. So I think we really need to collectively look and ask government perhaps as well to look at these issues in terms of tying us into this. Commissioning capacity. We're all going to be commissioning authorities. We're all going to be a commissioning superpower, whatever. We also need the capacity and the skills to actually do that effectively. As you heard, working with Primary Care Trust colleagues at the moment, there is huge anxiety about where that's going. And lots of people are leaving, and lots of skills are going out of the authorities as well. And there's a plea from me that we have to retain some of that specialism in those authorities. We have to value the authorities. And I work very closely with schools in Devon, and special schools particularly. And we've started to work with GPs and the consortia to have those discussions about saying, we can provide you with a vehicle to support this very specialist commissioning if you want to work in that way, and with academies. So, but you need the people to be able to do that. And structures, obviously, have been great barriers. The support we got was from our Director of Children's Services, Anne Whiteley, and our Director of Commissioning, Jane Carroll, in the PCT, by putting together a strategic commissioning group in 2008. And that is a group which we actually met yesterday to think about where we're going next in terms of developing, linking with the white paper, outcomes, etc. So there's still a commitment there. That has underpinned, that has supported a joint commissioners group that I chair, which looks at all of these issues together collectively with the PCT. But key, I think, on this slide is about champions and key people who have a shared vision. And one of the things that I went out to do in 2008 was to actually identify, I mean, I hope I'm one of them myself, but I was trying to really identify who are those key people that were going to be taking this shared vision forward so that, you know, we knew that things were going to get rocky. We knew that things were going to be dramatically changing. But if some of those key people, especially heads in schools and heads of some of our organisations we work with, actually continue to want to support this area of work, then that was absolutely crucial. We've done a lot of work with parent carers. Right from day one, as I said, in 2000, we've been working with parent carers. We formally brought in conversation events in 2007, where we have a roadshow that goes around the county twice a year, talking about what we're doing, strategic development. And in our initial events, we took the demographics, we took the facts and figures, we said, this is the provision, this is what we've got, what do you think? And we also took our budgets. And that had never happened before. People actually said to us on one of the first events, we don't want to know how much you've not got, because that's too scary. But it was about, it was about transparency and saying, well, this is what we've got. How can we actually, you know, work together with you? And parent carers have been absolutely crucial in terms of developing our strategic thinking, working with our providers, and we'll continue to carry that on. A lot of their views, special schools as hubs, good idea. We extracted these views out from these meetings. Schools should be accountable to parents for how they use their money. I like that one. It's lonely being a parent carer, we need regular contact. So we collected a lot of these sort of comments. How does one disability attract more funding than another? How do you answer those questions as organisations to say, well, you know, this is the way it works? And those are the things that we were challenged with. We also work with children and young people. We develop person-centred planning frameworks across Devon, and we continue to do this to try to use a lot of what comes out of a child's person-centred planning to inform our thinking. And some of these were some of their comments, which I think are, on face value, when you look at them initially, you think, well, what does that actually say? But they actually reflect quite a number of very similar outputs from person-centred planning around outside play, which we heard this morning about the sport. My life is fun because people work together. Again, you know, really important that children recognise that, that by people working together, it makes things work. So we brought the national and local agendas together. We have an integrated commissioning strategy, which you see runs out in March 2011. And I haven't brought anything new with us because that's one of our big questions is, where are we going to next? But this actually set a very clear format for us. And behind it, as I said earlier on, we have some sub-strategies that looked at palliative care, emotional health, early years, short breaks, and transitions, which, of course, is a crucial area. A lot of this was brought together into what we first called a fair shares allocation, which was how do we then deploy our collective resources in an equitable way. And we used a series of general population figures, the data that I've shown you, deprivation indices from children's centres work, to arrive at a percentage allocation for each area, which looked at the combination of primary care trust and local authority capacity. And I'll go back to my map. Because of those set of factors, the eastern area of Devon, which is an operational area, the northern area of Devon and the southern area of Devon, that's how the cake is cut in terms of our fair access to short breaks allocations, the way that the money is distributed through Aiming High. I think we spend about £8.1 million on short breaks, £1.9 from Aiming High. But that money is distributed in that percentage way, and that the fair access process is equitable for a parent, whether they're in Kingsbridge or whether they're in Ilfracombe, and that's one of the absolute crucial things. But this can also be used to deploy staffing because it's based against a whole set of criteria that we've looked at. It's not easy, it's very challenging, and it's very difficult when there might be different sets of issues coming out from those areas. So where now? I was a bit worried about coming out of Devon for a day because looking at education, health and social care, it changes on an hourly basis at the moment. So, and transforming community services, a huge challenge. We have a fully integrated children's service in Devon. And I was just saying earlier on, I think, that is there going to be disintegration to reintegrate? What's the impact of that going to be? How can we actually take that forward? We have been looking at local authority partnerships as a hosting way forward. But, of course, Devon County Council wants to be a commissioning authority as well. So the challenges there are absolutely vast at the moment. And I can't say we've actually concluded that journey quite yet. The efficiencies and reductions in local authority provision. Is it going to be front-loaded next year? Yes, we think it is. Devon hasn't made any announcements like other local authorities, Somerset and Cornwall, colleagues here from Cornwall, because we've looked at trying to do a prioritisation process, and children with special needs have been very clearly identified as a high priority within that. So that there isn't going to be, I'm going to hold my boss to this, about salami slicing. We are going to have to look at how we make these changes through looking at the statutory functions, the priority areas of work, deeper and wider integration. And I think this bit as well about a mixed economy of providers with a single delivery specification. For us as commissioners, it might well be that we'll be working with 15, 20 organisations. So our outcomes, our specifications have to be absolutely crystal clear. Because, and I'll bring the last slide up, which is from the parent who keeps me on my toes. Third sector partnerships, we've heard about personalisation and individual service frameworks. Always has been important in Devon. We have 700 families already using direct payments. And in actual fact, I was reminded this morning, it was about £3.1 million that we send out through direct payments. And that is everything from £150,000 a year direct payments right the way down to £1,000. So there is a mixed market with over 450 providers, many of whom are families, but also parents got together and have created their own organisations to support families. And I think that the personalisation using the fair access process, using direct payments, is a very clear way forward. And I was thinking about the sports, you know, a personalised approach. family having their personalised plan and their finance can actually be accessing this dynamic marketplace. And we have been doing quite a lot, and I think listening to Andrew earlier on, we've been working with an organisation called Vranch House. Vranch House has been in existence in Exeter for many, many years. It's a specialist centre for children with very complex physical disabilities, and it's a school. But it also has historically provided physiotherapy services across a large area of Devon. So about a year ago, we started thinking we needed to come up with a different approach to providing a new specialist child assessment centre, but also about developing our overnight breaks. And we started to work with Vranch, and we now have a voluntary statutory partnership, which we've signed yesterday, which is an agreed partnership that Vranch House will host our specialist child assessment centre. It will deliver physiotherapy across major parts of Devon. Through that, the charity has been able to secure a £1 million donation. And so that's your added value in terms of this mixed market. And they are building this lovely new specialist child assessment centre, which is on the Honeylands site. People might have heard of Honeylands in Exeter. It will be a value of £2.5 million building. So, and they will run it, and they will host the staff that are moving from one NHS organisation to wherever. But it might well be that the context for future commissioning is actually about reinforcing and working much more with organisations like Vranch and developing these voluntary statutory partnerships in a much, much bigger way. And Vranch House has got a commitment to develop two other specialist child assessment centres across Devon in this way. So they are... children with disabilities are a priority. We are still continuing to take them forward. Safeguarding, strengthening families and adolescents, but children with additional needs are very clearly there in our priorities. And this is what I have to keep remembering. Don't get me wrong, John, but I don't really care how you lot are put together, as it seems to change every year now. My child goes to school, needs specialist health support, and we as a family do need some support to keep going. We're happy to do a lot of this ourselves, but you still need to make it easier for us to do that. And despite what you said, I still make my 5 phone calls a week. So even after 10 years, that was a friendly parent care that I know quite well, was still saying, you haven't quite got it right yet. So let's push on to the next stage, because at the end of the day, I think I still want, when the door opens, not to fall down that flight of stairs. So I think that's me. Thank you.